Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know, I'm watching some of these old fights of Showtime Pettis's, and he's a badass. I'm telling you, that's going to be just absolute violence of the highest order, that fight. I mean, I don't know. The main event's great and everything, and we'll talk about that here with Mark Raimondi of ESPN. But I got to tell you, this guy, Pettis, I don't think he gets any love. I mean, he was a former champ, and he's got all these kicks that he does. He jumps off the fence and kicks people in the head. He's got a roundhouse he nails people with. You know, I remember when he fought Wonderboy Thompson. I mean, this guy is just absolutely no joke. I just think they're going to go at it hard and heavy. Mark Raimondi, ESPN, joins us on the bench. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Scott. How are you?
I'm cool, brother. What do you think of that guy, Pettis? I don't think he gets – it's always about somebody else. It's never about him. He gets absolutely no juice.
Yeah, you're on the money, man. Just listening to what you know, what you were saying at the top, he is he's really one of the most exciting, flashy, entertaining fighters in all of the UFC, and he has been for some time. And he's the last couple of years, it's kind of been hit or miss for him, and he hasn't really put together any kind of sustained run. He had there was a time 2 years ago that he went down to 145 pounds, which was really a huge mistake in his career. It was so bad that now he has trouble even making 155 pounds. So he's been fighting the last few fights at 170. And yeah, to your point, he knocked out Wonderboy Thompson, who is a phenomenal striker, in his last fight, and that was his debut at 170 pounds in the UFC. So this is a guy that has a lot of upside still. He's not an old guy. He's still in his early 30s. And he's just as talented and athletic and flashy as he's always been.
Do you think that, you know, the fact that Diaz, and I love watching this guy fight too. He's one of my favorites. Most people, you know, that I talk to like him. They like his, you know, rough style and just walks in there and just goes to war. And he's involved in all these bloodbaths. He is an absolutely violent human being in that octagon. But I have a hard time with his three-year layoff. Like, what does he do? I mean, I don't understand. It seems to me, like, Mark, that he spends two years and about 8 months complaining about – he just complains about everything, and then he finally decides to fight. He's wasting his life. His career's flying by every year he doesn't fight, if you ask me.
You forget that there's a lot of that time that is also spent smoking weed, Scott.
Of course. I know he smokes tons of weed. Which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think after he fought McGregor twice in 2016, it was the really the height of his career, and he had a chance to go on and make a ton of money in other fights, and for whatever reason he chose not to, and he chose to kind of you know, sit on the sidelines and wait for the perfect opportunity. And I think you know, for a long time, Scott, he was waiting for that McGregor Trilogy fight, because that was going to be the one that was going to pop a big number for him. That was going to make him the most possible money.
Right.
But as we know, then McGregor went off, and you know, he spent all of 2017 talking crap with Floyd Mayweather, and he fought Floyd Mayweather, and it was kind of lost time for Diaz. And then when he did want to come back, he wanted to come back last year, last summer. There was really nothing that made sense for him, because he's in a weird spot where it's like, you can't just have Nate Diaz fight any old guy, right? You can't just have him fight any old contender, number 15. That has to be a prominent name, and this works out. You know, this works out. It's been a long time coming, but Anthony Pettis is a name. He's an exciting fighter. It's certainly a co-main event worthy type of fight. So this is where it works out. But yeah, I mean, I think everyone in the sport wishes he had come back way sooner.
So Mark Raimondi with his ESPN on the bench. You know, Donald Cerrone, Cowboy, he's so active. We always joke here on the show that he fights like every 3 weeks. But he literally will fight. He'll fight a mule. He'll fight a mule in a rainstorm. But why is it that that guy can fight every 2-3 months and this Diaz guy just refuses to fight? It makes no sense to me. He could be just like him and just be racking up bags of cash. He always talks about all he wants is the money. So why wouldn't he just fight all the time?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, not a lot of guys are made like Donald Cerrone. I think twice in the last 3 years, I asked Donald Cerrone, "Hey, did you know who that guy was that you signed up to fight before you signed for the fight?" And he said, "No, I had no idea who that guy was." He didn't care. You know, he didn't care. One of those guys, unfortunately, was Darren Till, and Darren Till, you know, knocked him out. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, I just think that they're kind of playing two different types of games. Whereas Nate Diaz is looking for that perfect, you know, one big money fight per year or so, and Donald Cerrone is looking to just try to compile as much money and bonuses as he possibly can. You know, and that there are pros and cons to both, because Donald Cerrone is also taking a lot of you know, damage. He's taking a lot of damage in training for all these fights and also in the fights, whereas Nate Diaz hasn't, he probably hasn't sparred a whole lot in the last 3 years either. So he's not taking any, you know, he's not getting concussions. He's not you know, getting CTE over the last 3 years either. So, there are two ways of looking at it.
So what do you think, Mark, with DC and Stipe? I've interviewed both of them. I like both of them. I think they're both really good fighters. I mean, I thought Stipe, you know, defended at least three times, and there's not been a lot of guys have three title defenses and win them. So I think he's kind of earned this. A lot of people said he waited too long to fight him again. It's been basically a little over a year since he fought him and lost and got knocked out. What's different this time around?
Well, the one big difference today that kind of manifested itself is that both guys are way lighter than they were last year. Stipe Miocic was only 230 pounds on the scale today, and that was the lowest he's ever weighed for a UFC fight. The previous low was back in 2011 when he fought at 236 pounds. It was his UFC debut. So it's pretty clear. And also, to that same point, Dan Cormier was 10 pounds lighter today. He was 236 pounds compared to last year when he was 246 for the first fight against Miocic. So both guys, I think it's pretty obvious that they're trying to have the edge in speed. And I think that's after being in that fight the first time, I think that both of them probably felt like speed and cardio was kind of at a premium, which is why they came in super lean today. Like, that was very surprising.
Do you think, Mark Raimondi with us, ESPN, do you think that if DC wins, that he'll get his wish and the trilogy with John Jones, because Bones has said he wants no part of it. Do you think he's lying? Because that would be the ultimate right now. I mean, that would be the cheddar. I mean, that would be the cheddar fight. Like, everyone wants to see it again, except, you know, in my eyes, unless I'm tripping, I thought Jones kicked his ass both times.
It's such a weird situation, because you're right. I mean, Jones beat him definitively twice. The second time, of course, was overturned because Jones tested positive for a steroid. So that's not an official win for Jones, but I mean, I was there. It was in the Honda Center. I'm a few feet away from Honda Center right now. The fight's going to be there on Saturday. So I saw John Jones knock Dan Cormier out. I know it doesn't count on the record anymore, and you can say what you want to say about PEDs and whatnot. But yeah, I do feel like that fight at 205 has happened twice already. We kind of know the story there at 205. Personally, I'd want to see them fight at heavyweight. And I know Dana White has said the exact same thing. You know, why don't these guys fight at heavyweight? We kind of know the story at light heavyweight. We know Cormier cuts a lot of weight. Why not see what happens at heavyweight? And Jon Jones does not want to do that. And honestly, neither does Daniel Cormier. Cormier, if he's going to beat Jon Jones, he wants to do it on Jones' terms at 205. So we'll see. We'll see if that happens. I know that all the parties involved probably want that to happen. It's just a matter of what goes down on Saturday night at UFC 241 with Cormier and Miocic.
How funny is it, in your opinion, and I mean this respectfully and in a positive way, not in a negative way, is this sport for ESPN? Because, you know, back in the day, I think they, like, let's go back to the beginning, and they were clearly in the, you know, in the group that said it was, you know, human cockfighting, and it was unacceptable, and it wasn't a sport. And then fast forward to today, and it's apparently worth billions to both the ESPN people, Disney, and of course, Zuffa and the UFC. How crazy is it that they've gone over that window from it being wide open where they would say no way to where they are today, where it's like the biggest thing they have now?
Well, I think just the genesis of the sport and the way that it's evolved over the last, you know, 20 plus years. I mean, this is a sport that didn't exist before like 1993, which is just like unheard of, that a sport in our lifetimes, I mean, I remember 1993. I was there. And now the sport has kind of grown out of nothing, and it's this, like you said, multi-billion dollar enterprise, and it's global, and it's you know, it's so popular in so many pockets of the world, and that's just one of those things, I guess. You know, ESPN recognized that it maybe you know, it took other outlets a little bit quicker to know what MMA was and to monetize it and realize the potential it had, and ESPN has obviously found that. And man, you know, working here, it is very obvious they are all in on the sport. It's not even just the UFC, PFL, you know, Professional Fighter League is on ESPN Plus. There's Dana White's Contender Series, you know, right, on Tuesdays during the summer. It is a full scale. I mean, honestly, between me and you, Scott, and you know, the people listening, I wouldn't have this job if ESPN wasn't all in on MMA. So it's pretty crazy.
That's awesome. I'm happy for you. Real quick, 30 seconds, respectfully. Who do you think Conor McGregor will ever fight, or will he ever fight again? Or are we just going to see him beat up old men in bars?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe the big rematch between him and the white-haired guy from the Dublin pub, right?
I got the white guy with high odds. I'm going to take the underdog with huge, like, 40-1 odds.
I mean, if Conor in 2019 can't put that guy on his butt with the left hand, we're in big trouble here for his fighting future.
So do you think he'll ever fight again or anything?
I think he will. It's just a matter of coming to a deal with the UFC, and honestly, a matter of him staying out of trouble. That's really what it comes down to.
I hope he stays in trouble. It's more fun that way. It's more entertaining for all of us. Listen, Mark, great stuff tonight on the bench. Enjoy the fights tomorrow night in Anaheim.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
All right, Mark Raimondi of ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.